Kitsa Ranu on page Tzadike Lisrachik Mivakhonis Vesnatskiois. The Mechaber is talking about the different symptoms of Moichin Dekatnis. Remember that the underlying pathology of the end of time of the generation is Moichin Dekatnis, is the small mindedness. That's the Shiraim of Golus that we've been talking about from the beginning of the Sefer. The Shiraim of Golus, Moichin Dekatnis. Now, how do you deal with Moichin Dekatnis? And do you try to contend with each of the symptoms? One of the symptoms we're going to talk about right now, which we all know about this, the question is how to deal with it before Mashiach comes, with this outcome of Moichin Dekatnis. It's really an important parak. You should chazal over with the children, with our children, and our grandchildren, in the whole sefer. But this parak. You can move there. There's somebody behind that one. Oh, hi. Okay. Yeah, it's fine. It's a little silly to. Avshiyesh hechrech lehisayir. Ish hechrech lehisayir. Tzarech losim lev hetev el derech hisayiris. Look, we all know that there's a need for hisayiris to motivate ourselves and to motivate others. The question is how to go about doing that. What's the derech hisayiris? We find that it's very, very difficult. It's very hard to wake other people up. It's very hard to wake up people who are completely, completely asleep, who are still in that sleeping mode of galus. What the Svarim teach us is that the Ikra is that a person should try to be Ma'ur himself. If we awaken ourselves and we become filled with Chiyas, so then, since we are filled with the Moichin of Geula, of redemption, then we'll be able to awaken others. But the ikur is this: Oy tov and heitev. Shakotn shadayin shakur b'shinas hagolus. Soiver shehu tzodik b'tfisas olamo. When you're talking to a person who is a cotton here doesn't mean a child, but who has an immature, childish, golus mentality, that way of thinking. He's in this deep sleep of golus. He's convinced that he's entirely justified. B'tfisas olamo. I just got off the phone. I ran from the house to get here. I got off the phone with somebody out of town. And there's this one yeshiva in this town. And this yeshiva, one yeshiva high school in this town. And the yeshiva high school has now made it clear that just because they're the only yeshiva high school, like within a couple hundred miles, that doesn't mean that they automatically are going to be taking the kids that are coming from the elementary school in town. I don't know why not. The particular situation I'm dealing with this particular family is that nothing like that. That it's a little bit. He's a little bit of a chevreman, but nothing like. No reason to send him to public school. There's no other yeshiva. There's no other yeshiva for hundreds of miles. So they're now making it clear that we're trying to upgrade the level of our education and our reputation as a yeshiva and to keep to a certain standard. But then what happens to the kids from the shtetl? Where are they supposed to go? That then they told this family, Beferish, there's some very fine public schools in the area. When I was growing up, we never heard such a thing that a kid, a frum kid, shouldn't go to yeshiva. They shouldn't have yeshiva for a kid. So until now, in New York, we have always prided ourselves on throwing kids out, on not accepting kids. Why? Because here, all the principals, all the menahalim can go to sleep at night, because then they just tell the kid, go to another yeshiva. It's not our problem. There are 1,000 yeshivas, go to someplace else. Or in Bnei Brak, or in Yerushalayim, wherever. Go someplace else. But now there's a new madrega, a new standard that's being that even out of town, where nowhere else to go. They could also tell you we're trying to make this into like an Ivy League school. This is a yeshiva from Mitzvah. But I live here. I live in this town. There's no other yeshivas here. Mamas, no other yeshivas here. So, in high school, you can go out of town. Go to the dormitory. Go someplace else where there's a dormitory. And you talk to the principal, you talk to these people, they're 1,000% convinced that they're doing the will of God, and that this is Torah. This is the way of Yiddishkeit. This is what they received in the Masorah from the Rebbeim and so on. You can't argue with them. It's almost impossible to argue with people. Those who are still asleep in the sleep of Galus, they're convinced that they're absolutely right in their way of looking at things. Absolutely right. And these people are not able to recognize and to acknowledge, to admit the katnas of their way of thinking because of their katnas. Because of that katnas, you can't reach them. Therefore, it's impossible and there's no point in arguing with these people at all. There's no point in arguing with them. Therefore, you could leave people like this, just go walk away from them. And to try to use your energy, to use your kaychus with those who are ripe and who are ready, who are on the verge of waking up, as opposed to wasting your time in arguments with those who are not. This is a tremendous yisod that directs us in this way of going completely away from debates, from vikuchim and machlaikas, with those who think differently. Not getting into that stuff at all. Shelo yo'ilu ma'uma. They don't help at all. V'kemat shelo yishtachnu hacholkim. And kemat, it doesn't happen that you're going to convince somebody who's set in a certain mahalach and is in this place of katnas that you're going to convince him to change his way of thinking. And the reason for that is ki ha'shor shel ha'machlokos hu ha'moichin. The sherish, the root of these disagreements, the root is in the moichin, in that way of thinking, in a certain lack of awareness of the bigger picture. Ki ha'shor shel ha'machlokos hu ha'moichin. Ha'shoni no'utz be'etzem tfisas ha'chayim. See, you're going to argue about this point, about that point. You're going to try to fight over certain points, but then it makes no difference. Even if you might get somewhere a little bit, somebody to budge in this particular nakuda, but the bottom line is, the real problem is not the points. The real problem is the moichin. It's a whole tefisas achai. If you've ever been in an argument or a disagreement with a person of moichin de katnas, so then you know, at some point you just realize that I'm not getting anywhere with this person. I'm not getting anywhere with this person. Because I could try to argue about the demographics or the population of the town and how this and there's a certain amount of responsibility. And it's not about this point or that point. There's a whole tfisas achai. The whole way of looking at life is different. It's katnas, it's a way of katnas. Umimena noivais hamachlaikos. And it's from that katnas that the machlaikos can come. Ubemis ze yisod rov hamachlokos ben palgei ha'am. The truth is, this is really what is at the foundation of most of the machlokes between the different groups of our nation, of our people. V'lo hanosim hamugdarim. It's not the actual subjects that are being debated. It's not about the subjects. That you could debate with somebody, you could argue with someone who's in your tefisa sechai. In your way of thinking, there could be nekudas that make a difference between you. So if you have a chavrusa, and the chavrusa is you and the chavrusa are be'erach in the same ballpark, you could argue over Taisus, you could argue over Gemara. He makes a point, you make a point, and that's what a chavrusa is, and you argue over the points. But if you're learning advanced Gemara, and this is somebody who never got past Mishnayos for whatever reason, you know, he never had that opportunity to learn Gemara. It's not a difference of this point in Taisus, that point in Rashi. It's a different tefisa of a Blat Gemara. You're not talking to somebody who's in the same world as you are. It's sad because you're both Jewish. And you would like to think, if you ever tried having a conversation like with one of the Kanoim, get one of these guys in Yerushalayim that has that wild look in his eyes, Friday after Shkia, and he's screaming Shabbos, standing out, you know, on the street. And say to him, Achi, Heilige Brida, can we have a conversation? What do you think you're accomplishing? He has that look in his eyes. I've tried that. He has that look. And you try talking to him, and he's talking about the Kedusha Shabbos, and how can you Shalom, your Kodesh, and you also like them because you hold it. And you try to say, no, I'm just trying to ask you, like, how is this going to help the Kedusha of Shabbos? How is it that you're, how are you going to be raising these people to teach them the beauty of Shabbos if all you're doing is antagonizing and hurting and insulting? How is that going to bring to more Shmira Shabbos? And he starts saying the same thing. I've had these conversations. And the guy's not dumb. He's not dumb, but you can't talk to him. Shabbos. I said, I'm talking about Shabbos also. How can we strengthen Shmira Shabbos in Yerushalayim? What can we do about Shabbos in Yerushalayim? I agree with you. It's terrible that there's Chil Shabbos in Yerushalayim. What can we do about it? What can we do? I'm like, why are you talking? They're looking for nothing to scream and to yell for the next guy coming down the street. They're waiting for like the cat for the mouse that's going to come in. And you can't talk. It's a different planet. So you can get into a fight, you get into an argument. How is this helping Shabbos? You can't talk to them about it. And even though it's a very, very extreme example, but all of us have been in situations where you find that you're unbelievably frustrated because you're talking to somebody and you feel like you're making very, very good points, and that you realize that after the whole conversation, it's like it's not shy. It's not shy. And the person's a smart person. It's not like it's a smart person. Like you have, this is a typical thing. You have a kid that comes home, he was in yeshiva, somehow he was able to squeeze out 2 years from his parents, so he was in Shalavim, or he was in the Gush, or he was in the Shrago, or whatever the place is. Yishrei Lev, whatever the yeshiva is. He was in any one of the good yeshivas, all these nice yeshivas. The kid comes home from the yeshiva, right? And the parents are bechlal not in that parasha. They're not in that parasha. And the kid's trying to say, you know, it's so important for my Yiddishkeit, and I'm just getting to a point where I can make a landing in the Black Gemara. I'm getting on the father sitting there with a remote control and a beer, you know what I'm saying? And the mother is doing her eyelashes. And you're trying to, and the kid's trying to talk about like something, you know, I really feel that I could be a Yesh Hamayim, a Ben Taira. I really think that I could be, if I have a little bit more time, I could be a real Yesh Hamayim. I'm working on my Yesh Hamayim. I've gotten so far in my learning, I'm almost able to make like a landing in a Black Gemara. It would change my whole life. And they look like you're from outer space. And they're smart people. And the kid's trying to talk reason, you know. And the mother and father, they're nice people, but like a different place altogether. They can't even talk to them. And then you get into fights, you get into arguments, and because the kids are powerless. But it's unbelievably frustrating. And then you get into these points about like, but you have to earn a living. I know I have to only, but you know now when and if I could do this, how does it? And it's not like they don't make some good points. Both sides make good points, but there's a different tefisa zechayim. They're different worlds. They're two different worlds. How did that happen? In the same, and it happens all the time. They come from the same house. There's a different tefisa zechayim. This could be an 18-year-old kid that has unbelievable idealistic vision of what he wants his life to look like. And it could be a 38-40-year-old parent that whose idealism, you know, died someplace on the F train in 1984 or something. I don't know. Finished. There's nothing. There's no one to talk to. And he makes a good point. You do have to worry about parnasa. So all the points. What do you do with your life? So the kid can say, I don't know, there are 50,000 guys that are doing this. So like, why can't I also be like one of those guys? And then you get back and forth in these vikuchim and you start going through these different points, and then you realize that it's not a matter of who won. It's not this point to that point. It's an andere Welt. It's a different world. We're just living in different worlds. And you're not getting anywhere with this kind of... You're not getting anywhere. It's like talking to the guy about... Not yelling at people that are not from, but trying to maybe invite them for Shabbos. He's saying, I want this person... I want that your street should be quiet in Shabbos. Invite the person for Shabbos. Invite him for Shabbos. Maybe he'll come. And you talk to him. You spend the Shabbos together, sing Zmiris. It's a nice idea. Shabbos! You can't even talk to them. I tried this a lot when I was younger. I used to spend time on this. You can't even talk to them. To this chaver. That look in their eyes. You try talking to them, can't talk to them. There's a certain world that they come from, that they're living in, and could be they're saying the same thing about me. That he is crazy, he's American, doesn't understand what it means, what Yerushalayim used to be like, and so on. And we have to try to preserve Yerushalayim, to save Yerushalayim from the infidels, from the heretics, from, you know, this is jihad, and here in Yerushalayim we have to fight the holy war. And I think there's no point in this. Because he says, what he's saying is, it's not the actual subjects that are being debated. That's not the point. Because you could talk about a different subject with that person. It's not about the subject. It looks like the machlokes is about how to have Yerushalayim be more Shabbistic. That's what it looks like. But that's not really what it's about. It's not. What it's about is somebody from 2020 talking to somebody from 1920. It's not about the Inyan of Shabbos. It's not about how to make Shabbos better in Yerushalayim. It's something else altogether. Berov Inyan Videos Shonos Mechulafos. When you sit down with one of the chassidim of Bernie Sanders, right? This guy. You sit down with one of the chassidim to try to talk to him. I've never done that. I have no reason to do that. I don't talk about this or about party that. But I have had the frustrating experience when I was younger talking to like a real like liberal type of a chevrimah, right? Real, real liberal. And the picture of the world is a picture of such meichin dekatnas that, again, it's not anything that you could... It's not the inyan itself. Because you could bring out all of the facts. Let's say if you're arguing with somebody about the right of the Jews to settle in Palestine, you know? You argue, it's not about the point, it's not about the facts. You could take out all of the maps in the world and you could prove everything 1,000%, but that's not what they're not really arguing about that. There's something that's much deeper than that. It's a whole tefisa zechayim. You see that there was a guy. Somebody showed me on last week. There was a Jewish journalist. He was going around in Brooklyn. He was asking some of the local chevra over there, some of the chevra that live there, about what's going on with anti-Semitism in your community. Did you any of you see this? Yeah. Yeah. Our buildings, how come they're not sharing? We're supposed to share with it, like buy a building if you like. You would also buy the building, but And to his credit, the guy doesn't do any, he's not arguing at all. He's just letting them like say these totally wacky things about the taking over. It sounds just like in Germany and in Poland, anywhere else. But taking over, and it's between the, this one guy said the haves and the have-nots, like he's a professor or something. And it's the haves and the have-nots, and we're not...
They're in our country.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. We're in their country. It was an interesting idea. They're the original Americans. They came like, on the Mayflower they came. And like we just like showed up, a couple years ago, we showed up here, and we're taking away all their buildings, and we're not sharing with them. Like, when was the last time they shared a building with anybody? The whole thing. So seriously, you're gonna go have a debate with one of these guys. You can have a conversation to say, why do you think that? What do you mean that we're not sharing with you? What does that mean we're not sharing? They have a moichin de katnas. Not all of them, obviously. Unfortunately, many of them. There's a certain moichin de katnas. Not saying that they're stupid or smart. It's not that we're stupid. It's a tfisa sachaim that the white people of America owe us, and of the white people more than anybody, the Jews. Because the Jews are all rich, and the Jews are not giving us a chance or something, and you can't argue. There's nothing to talk about. It's a different tefisas chayim. So what do you do when you're in that situation? He says, Lamar Sain, it looks near Lemshon. It looks like on the surface they were arguing about certain points. But Berov in Yemideas Shonus Mukhulofos, like there are different views and different ideas. Tainus, Sominus, Chayotibus, all kinds of tainus and answers and questions and so on. But that's not true. Because Vahabet Hetev L'Omaka Metzias, if you look deeply into reality, Vitirish Asherish Hamachloikos, who Etzem Hashaini, Minakudas Hahashkofa Alachaim. The Sherish of all of these disagreements within Am Yisrael, religious, not religious, the religious parties in Eretz Yisrael, and so on and so forth. All the shurish of the machlokesin is etzem hashon yimin nekuda sahashkof alachayim. Etzem hashon yimin nekuda sahashkof alachayim. And then the most dangerous and the most frustrating thing is that when they have some sort of like an Adam Global or Rosh Hashiva, to prop up as the one who's behind that hashkofa, which could very well be, in all the respect to the Talmud Chacham, could very well be that he is a person that knows how to learn, but he's deep in the slumber of Golus, terrible Moichin de Katnis himself, which is not unusual at all. Moichin de Katnis. It's a different Hashkofas Achai. You had this party in Eretz Yisrael, and they have the guys, every single, they're lying across the highway. They put themselves on the highway. Then they call themselves Peleg. Peleg means itself Machlaikas. The name they call themselves is Machlaikas. Peleg. And they stopped the whole traffic on the whole highway. So, and this is to do what? Did they lie down on the highway? This is to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. What is that? What is that? And all they have to do is to say that they have this Rosh Hashiva and that Rosh Hashiva. And to argue with them and to say you're making a Chil Hashem, it's a Chil Hashem. How are you helping Yiddishkeit? How are you moving Hashem's program of Malay Chalaritz Kavoyde? How are you moving it forward in the world with lying on across the road and you have thousands of cars backed up, people can't get to work, and they see that it's all Yeshiva Bachram. How are you helping the Rebbeinu Shalom with this? No, they have pictures of their Gedolim and they say this is how it is, the same way ones that are burning Shaitels in Gula, wherever they are, long Shaitels, and that, so they have. Or dressing up kids a few years ago in Nazi concentration camp uniforms. So it's a different Hashkofas Achayim. Now, so what do you do about this? So the first thing is not to argue, not to get into debates and to arguments. He says, Lachain ein li tofres de vikuchim hagluyim. Don't get caught up in these debates, these arguments. You're not going to get anywhere with them. So what can you do? There is a simple answer. You see, even with the most extreme, let's say this chevra, let's say the most extreme chiloni, you can't get to arguments with them either, the most extreme secular people. You try to talk to them about it. They can't get the argument. You can't get them. All the Fafrumta ones, you can't get them. So, nevertheless, with using this as an example, with even the most Fafrumta, Fachnakta types of Jews, right? And then the other extreme of the Jews that are most secular, you know, like Ramat Aviv, you know, with tattoos from head to toe, lower later, Jews. But with all of those, with both of those, there are things that are not debatable that we have in common. Somebody showed me a beautiful, Charlie showed me this morning, yesterday, a beautiful picture that you had from the Olami. They have a security organization, and they brought like 400, 500 guys and girls, I guess. I don't know. Girls went to a girls' place, guys. And they came to Lakewood, and the whole Beis Medrash Gavoa opened up their doors for them, and they spent hours there sitting there with them, learning and steiging with them, and it was beautiful. Mamash beautiful. No politics. Not are you religious, you're not religious. Everybody was briefed. Learn with them a Mishnah. Learn with them a Gemara. Learn Torah. And Charlie was saying that, telling me that the Chevra and Lakewood couldn't get enough of it. They want more of this. And these kids, the secular kids that were coming, they were so excited about it. They felt so loved and so excited about the learning. And that, in other words, why talk about the other stuff? There's like so much good stuff that we all like. You get one of these kanoim, you know, Shabbos. Okay, so don't talk to him about Shabbos and Yerushalayim. Don't go there. And don't talk to him about Zionism. Don't go to that Indian of Zionism. Because that's, you know, that's not going to work. You're not going to convince him that that this was right and really Rav Kook was a tzaddik. Don't go there. Don't talk about Rav Kook. Don't bring up Rav Kook's name in that place with those people. Because it's just going to make them crazy. But there are other tzaddikim you can talk about. It doesn't have to be Rav Kook. So talk to him about the Baal Shem Tov. Talk to him about the Chassam Sofer. Share. There are so many good things to talk about. There are things that we all like, we all enjoy, and we have common ground, and there's so much more of the common ground than the things that are different. But it's the nature of people, especially Jews, because we're smart, to go back to that wound, you know, to, like when you have something that's in your mouth, you know, is sore, you keep on going there with your tongue, like, leave it alone, lozum again. Like, what are you bothering with that? Leave it alone. And you keep on going back over there. We have something, a pimple or a thing, a scab, keep on going back there. What are you going over there? Leave it alone. Leave it alone. There are other things that are good. There are things that are healthy that everybody likes and that we could all talk about. Some start screaming about the state of Medina. They're all evil, they're wicked, and they're worse than Nazis and Yimach Shemo, all these things. They say crazy stuff. So you ask him, how's your mother doing? How's your mother? I saw her last week. She looked like she's not doing so well. How's she feeling? Could I come help you or something? There's no movement against mothers that I know of in Yiddishkeit. So talk about his mother. I mean, there are a million things to talk about. A million things to talk about. A million things to get involved with, to discuss. So that's what he says. Ainly tobes le bikukhama gluyim elo lachter la'acheid es ha'shkof ha'zachayim. Try to dig down deep and to get to that place where the Hashkofas HaChaim overlap. It's not saying anything brilliant. It's poshut, but we don't do it enough. Belikud Chelke HaTov, and gather together all the Chelke HaTov, the good parts. Shebekol Hashkofa Hashkofa. Now, for instance, so you take these Mishagoyim with the Shabbos. But Sof Kol Sof, they come from old Yerushalmi families, and they have a lot of good stuff in them. There's a lot of good stuff with Yerush Shemayim and with Kedusha. And, you know, there are a lot of positive things there. You have to gather those good points out from there. To gather out the good points, things that you could learn from, things that you could talk about. Not the Shabbos, not the Zionism, all that stuff that makes them all crazy. But other things. There are so many other things. And you do the same thing when you're talking to a secular person or a conservative or a reform. There's so many good things. I was in Toronto Shabbos. I met there a Yid. And he's a Rosh Kollel over there in Toronto. And I was so touched. he was telling me how he has partners in Torah. You know what that is, right? The phone. And he's been learning with a Baal Tshuva that I know. I never knew this, that he's been learning them for 4 years. This Rosh Karl. And this Rosh Karl is a super from Litvish yeshivish guy. Super yeshivish. And he's learning with this Baal Tshuva. Not only that, he told me that he goes to the Simchas and they come for Shabbos to them. I gave the guy a hug. I said, Ashrach, what a yid. You're a beautiful yid. Beautiful, beautiful. Now, if I start telling this guy about Hashkafas, I'd have like a lot of fights with him. Right? And when he's on the phone with his chavrusa here in the neighborhood, with his Baal Tshuva, they're not talking politics. They're talking about Eilu Shmos Bnei Yisrael. You know, they're talking about the parasha, and he's telling them things about the Jewish, you know, about the Tanakh and about it's Mechaya, because the yisod of every Jew is beautiful. Mom is beautiful, and there's so many other things. That's this whole organization you have in HSL, Hidabrut. You know about it? They're doing gewaldige work. This Hidabrut, gewaldige work. Because they decided, maspik im avikuchim, enough fighting. We've had it. We're not fighting. We're done. You win, you're smart, you have all the answers. We're not fighting anymore. So they're going with the secular Jews, and they're talking about things that, conversations, discussions, showing respect to another person, and having conversations. It's called hidabrut, and that's what they're doing. And it's unbelievable how secular Israelis come around, they're excited, and they want to be part of that. We could do the same thing here. In any JCC in America, we can go in Virginia, in Georgia, in Kansas, wherever there's Jews. But that's what the Chabad do. They take out, they make a Shabbos. But the Chabadskis get involved in all kinds of hashkafa arguments. You ever see a Lubavitcher do that? In Lubavitcher Yeshiva they do. And they'll fight with another Chassidish guy from another Chassidus. That they'll do. Of course they'll do. They're not like anybody else. But when they go to these places, they're getting into arguments. They just have a piece of kugel. Take a second piece of kugel. Where are you staying for Shabbos? That's all. It's not complicated. And you're kind of nefesh, and you become close to another person. And in this way, we're able to climb out of that katnus. So he's saying, to try to be malakit, to gather together all the chelke hatov, all the good things, shebekol hashkafa v'hashkafa. In each of the hashkafas, there are things that are good. In each of the hashkafas, there are things that are good. In Lakewood, in Lubavitch, in YU, in Satmar, in Popov, in the Taimanim, in the Merakins, in each of these chugim of our people, there's so many beautiful things. Beautiful things. Even Malakat the Toiv. To gather together the things that are good, that everybody likes. V'chiburim l'klal hashkofa shlemu machedes. V'lifo lo'eiris ebrius abishelos. And in this way, slowly, people begin, as they begin to become friends and connected to people who are different from them, who have different backgrounds, slowly but surely, they begin to come to a place of moichin the godless. They begin to expand their way of thinking. They begin to see more with the other, what makes another person. This is happening even through the technology. With all the disgusting things that go on with technology, one of the beautiful things about technology, I was talking to you about a few months ago, is that how I go places and I meet guys from Monroe, and they're listening to Shiurim, my Shiurim, they're listening to Herschel Schachter's Shiurim, and they suddenly have an appreciation for Jews that were raised in a different way than them, and see that there's something that we have in common. Not something, we have so much in common. So much in common. Where it used to be that not the two different worlds, mamish, two different worlds. Somebody was telling me that I was just telling me also when I was there, Shabbos, about these Chassidish kids, that they had to be someplace, and if something happened, they need to be housed somewhere. They were with modern Orthodox people, and they were davening in the shul there, and they were saying to their fathers, the fathers asking them about their experience being in the shul, and they said that they didn't know the goyim put on tefillin. That's what the kids said. They were surprised that goyim put on tefillin. So the fathers asked, "What do you mean? What do you mean goyim? What are you talking about goyim? They're not goyim. They're Jews." He says, "What do you mean? They're Jews. They don't have a beard. They don't have payas. They dress like goyim. So why do goyim put on tefillin?" So you understand what is that meichin de katnas? Meichin de katnas. And the parents realize, wow, we have to do this bad. We didn't want them to think that they're goyim. We just didn't want them to have anything to do with them. But we don't want them to think that they're goyim. They're not goyim. They're Jews. So because of the technology, because of what's going on, you have this like interesting new type of interaction that's going on between different parts of Am Yisrael, and that's a very, very beautiful thing. There's something very beautiful about that. Of course, there are people that worry so much about my kids being exposed to this different way and so on. And there's always that danger. Of course, there's a danger, and there has to be a shmira. But this way, there's an expansion that's taking place of people's way of thinking. Pesach Tzadik Vav. Yikom akom. Hakotn batuv bisikoso. The cotton, a person who is a cotton, is always absolutely confident and certain about his way. He's always batuch b'tzidkoso. Always batuch b'tzidkoso. That his way is right. Ki lo boshel hu lahovin me'eva l'ofik mabato. Because he's not ripe enough to be able to see beyond the horizon of that way that he was taught or that way that he was raised. He can't see beyond that. Al kein bali moichin ha'gu'ula ha'chel ha'gorl. Therefore, Rav Kook in Ursa Tchir writes that those in our generation who are Bali Moichen HaGula, that have a Moich of Gula, of redemption, we're thinking in the big way of redemption, and this Mesoira now and his awakening Be'or Shal Gadlus with the light of Gadlus. Hinehem Bale, Rav Kook, only Rav Kook could have such a term, Bale Gvuras HaChiyuv. They are the masters of the strength of the gvura of positivity. Chiyuv means positive, optimism, and positive. Misgavrim b'koach chiyuvi. Instead of arguing and fighting, instead of seeing all that is wrong with every other group and criticizing it and getting into fights about it, Rav Kook calls these Jews of Geula Bale Gvuras HaChiyuv. Gvuras HaChiyuv. The ones who have the gvur, the strength of the positive. Gvuras ha-chiyuv. Misgabram b'koach chiyuvi. And they're able to be victorious. They're able to win using the koach chiyuvi. Koach chiyuvi. Ba'agdolos ha-kodesh. An increasing kedusha. Ba'achrayus u'ba'agras. With a sense of responsibility and in a mature way. V'lo b'koch sholel. V'lo b'koch sholel means not by using the strength of knocking people and putting them down and going, you know, showing them that they're no good and disproving them and trying to slug them up. Not that way. B'ribui v'ikuchim u'milchames. With all kinds of v'ikuchim arguments and all kinds of milchames and wars. That's not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it. I once told you a story. There was an Adam Gadol in Eretz Yisrael. He was nifter not so long ago, and his name was Rabbi Yeshachter. He was for years and years and years involved in outreach in Kiruv. He's a special person. So I remember I once heard from him a shmooze, and he was saying how there was he was someplace in the Galil. Is someplace in the Galil, and there was a sign along the road. There was a sign along the road promoting basically promoting buses on Shabbos and promoting Chil Shabbos. And this Rav said that he did something, you know, when he got older, of course, he said he should, maybe shouldn't have done that, but he said he was with a couple of friends and they got out of their car and they started to take down, you know, to take down this sign. So then there was some car came by with a group of secular Israelis and they got out and they started screaming and yelling at them, and it was a whole thing. And Rav Shachter said that the whole time that this guy's yelling at him, and he said, "You're right." He said right away, "I should not have taken this." "You're right. It's against the law. You're right." But you know, when those people that get angry, they keep on yelling, even if you say you're right. So he said, "I should have taken this sign." But anyway, the guy said, he's screaming at him. And Rabbi Shachter said that the whole time, he was like laughing. He was smiling and laughing himself at this chilonik. So this chilonik says, "Mata tzuchek? Like, what are you laughing about?" So Rav Shachter said to him, "I'm just thinking how beautiful you're going to look when you also have a beard and payas. I'm just thinking about that, how you're going to look when you have a beard and payas." So the guy says, "What are you talking about?" But he starts to laugh. He said, "Like over my dead body, I'm never going to look like you," and this and that. And in the end, you know, they put their arm around each other. He said, "Okay, I won't do it again. Don't do it again." And he gave him, he said, "Look," they were near Haifa. He said, "I have a cousin that lives in Haifa. If you ever want to go for a Shabbos to my cousin," he says, "Ah, this, I don't want Shabbos on it." But he gave him the thing. And like 6 months later, his cousin told him, "I had this guy that called me up today. He's coming to me for Shabbos." And the end of the story is, Rav Shachter said, "He looks so beautiful with his beard and payas." It would be the same ending if he didn't have beard and payas, but he was just trying to tell him, you know, you have such a fire in you. You're such an Eish L'Hava. It can't be that you have an Eish L'Hava against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's whatever it is, you know, along the way. But it has to be in a way that's with a smile, with in a way that's chiyuvi, that's positive. Not with arguing, not with fighting. But trying to see, to be malakit, the inyonim that we have in common with other Jews. Because we have bemis with everybody, that we have so much in common. Ainly kanes levikuchim, elo lechabek v'le'ehov. Never to get into arguments, just lechabek v'le'ehov. What did Yaakov do when he saw? He says, "Mi elo, who are these?" Because he already saw Rashi brings down the Vechi that they're going to be coming from them, not just big tzaddikim, right? So Yaakov says, "I don't recognize who are these Jews." So Bonai Heim, Yosef Tzadik says, "These are my sons that I had in Mitzrayim," right? Which the Sfarim say means these are children that they didn't come out to be so from. These are my children from Mitzrayim. Meaning these are the kids that are off the derech. And a deeper love, that's what it means. The Egyptian children. There are a lot of Egyptian children with the Amgas also. These are the Egyptian children. So Yankov says, Kachan nor alive avarachim. He says, Vayechabik lehem, Vayenashik lehem. It says, "Bring them to me." And what did Yaakov do? He didn't give them Musar, he didn't give them speeches. He was hugging them, he was kissing them. So Nosson says, look at the lochas, that's the Indian, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Until the Baal Shem Tov, everybody's fighting and arguing and having vikuchim. And the Baal Shem Tov says, "Mi elu lachu, these are my children, kachem alayv avarachem. Vayinashik lahem, vayichabrik lahem." More kisses and more hugging, more kissing. That's the mahalach. L'chabrik v'le'ahov. And to emphasize the common denominator, to emphasize that which we have in common. Kigam klape akotin in the ikur hanuchonis shlo ligdol lipateach nove mikoch ahav shemanikim lo. We see that even by a child, and if it works for a child, it works for a person that's an adult that has a moichin of a child, that has a moichin of the katnis. That the main thing that enables a person to grow and that motivates him to grow is mikoach ahavas hamanikim lo. It's from the love that you give him. That's why the greatest strength in the house is the mother's love, that koach of ahava, which is the nin of rotzen and the rechem of a mother and all that the mother means, that motivates a child. The mother doesn't motivate the child by giving all kinds of speeches. The father makes all kinds of speeches, and the mother just hugs and kisses, and the kid wants to do the right thing. Not from the father's proof, but from the mother's love. I'm using this example. It doesn't always work that way, but that's how it is. It's not from the fathers that the father slugged up the kid and said, "This is my mahalach is the right mahalach." That's not why the kid has turned out to be from, because the father slugged up the kid's svara. It's because of the mother's love, because of the chibukim, the nishukim, the kisses and the hugs. And when the kid sees that the parent or the teacher that agrees with those things that are agreeable and that are good, and it shows tremendous, I guess, as much as I hate to use this word, but to validate the things that are worthy of validation, even I don't like that word, but to validate that which is worthy of validation, to show the chashivas of the person. And the mother generally is, not usually, always, but generally the mother is much, much more accepting. By the mother, by the women, bichlal. Like, what if we, my wife and I always talk about that. Like, you know, we have all these fights going on with this chassidus and that, and the literature. Like, what if you just got all the women together in a stadium? Like, just get away from these guys for the day with all their things and all their shittas. The women don't have, like, these big shittas. Honestly, they don't. Just he's a nice boy. He keeps Shabbos. You know, it's like he's trying his best. Really, that's they're not. You know, you think there's a big difference if you get like a Satmar woman, a Lubavitcher woman, a Lakewood woman, and a Svardisha woman. Really, in 2 seconds, they're like 100% on the same page. And the guys could sit there for 20 years arguing. My Rebbe holds like this, and my sheet like that. Your treif, your postel, your this and that. And the women, they. It would be unbelievable. You can't do this. But if the women would take over all the yeshivas and all the shuls, there wouldn't be fighting. They watch from the women's section the things that go on in the men's section, and they just can't believe it. They can't believe it. Like, adults could behave this way. Like, this guy's ready to ruin the whole yontiv over his aliyah or his seat. And, I mean, are there some women that are like that? Occasionally, there could be such a thing. But there are klals, like, take the whole row if you want it. You know? They just look at it like this is so strange. Like, what are you arguing about? You know, if you take some Hasidic kid, a cute little Hasidic kid with long pace, and you put him with a woman that's super modern Orthodox with a shorts and a sleeveless shirt, she's not kissing and hugging this kid in 2 seconds. She's not stuffing him with some good snacks. Seriously, she's going to say to him, "Are you an anti-Zionist?" So no, she's not in the Indian. It's not in the sugya. It's not her sugya. She doesn't care. She'll support her husband because she doesn't want to get in trouble with her husband. So she'll also say, "Yo, it's terrible. It's terrible." But they don't really go for that stuff. It's much more push it like that. Just a couple of Jews were all right. It's the Indian of Esther Malka, of the ghoul that comes from the side of the Nekeva. I will continue with show next week. We have a minion? I hope so. Yeah? Everybody, Davin, they're ready.
I'll stay.
People outside.